Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of News on the Flip Side with Joe Mantella. This is the Tuesday night's edition. I hope everybody's been having a good week so far. I know for a lot of us, it's going to be freaking cold. We'll just start off right off with that because, I mean, it's going to be freaking cold, and that's actually putting it politely. For us, wind chill factors will be like, you know, anywhere from 3 to 9 degrees. For y'all, I imagine it's going to be several degrees below for all my friends in the upper East Coast and in the middle of the heartland and on the top of the country. I know it's cold. I mean, I was talking to some friends of mine in Mississippi earlier today, in northern Mississippi, in northern Louisiana, and they're expecting, you know, a single digit. So there is snow coming through. We'll probably only see a little flurry, a little knick-knack of this, that, and the other damn thing. I know a lot of y'all are going to see some pretty good snow, but I mean, for the cold, is just outrageous. You know, I live in the deep south, people. I mean, if I had the studio window open right now, you can see the bayou in my backyard. And if you look down the bayou, you'll see the Gulf of Mexico is about 100 yards. I mean, I can't really go much further south unless I go to the tip of Florida and move to South America. So I was kind of like, damn, you know, when I first bought this house, the very first winter we had it, we had icicles off our house about a foot and a half long. I was like, damn. Now, I've seen it snow until recently. I had only seen it snow 5 times and was at 50 years old. That was about once every 10 years. In the last 5 years, it snowed 3 times. The last 2 times it snowed, it actually snowed. I mean, where you could go out and play in it and make snowmen. And I mean, snow, usually, like New Orleans will usually get about 2 inches of snow. And usually by midday next day, it's melted, it's slush, it's mess, it's just a mess is what it is. So we see this a lot down here, like slushy stuff, but not snow. Now, Mississippi, you go a little bit further north, it snows a little, you know, like my mom and my sister live in Atlanta, it snows up in Atlanta, but I mean, not, you know, it snows once or twice, 3 times a year, something, maybe 4, but, and every now and then it'll get some snow, but for the most part, it's still the south, not much snow, but where we live, it never snows. And I'm kind of like, wow, man. And these cold temperatures, you know, and it's, what's really bad about it is, like yesterday, it was 68 degrees. The day before that, it was 28 degrees. Tomorrow, it's going to be 20 degrees. 3 days from now, it's going to be back up to 65 degrees. It's amazing that half the states aren't dying down here. I mean, it's just like a roller coaster ride, but, you know, call it what you want. You can't call it global warming, but you can call it climate change. Because really and truly for us, the summers have gotten milder and the winters have got a bit rougher than they used to be. It's par for the course, I guess, for living here. But all in all, people, the weather changing around the country is interesting. What bothers me about this, and I don't know why, I can figure this out in mainstream science, hasn't figured it out yet, but sometimes we get lucky. Like I predicted ice sheets and ice rivers on Mars. Let's see, I'd started radio 20 years ago, so 20 years ago. Actually, earlier, but 20 years ago, it's actually on recording on Wake Up USA. I was talking about colonization of Mars and utilization on water on Mars. Now, this is 20 years ago. NASA just yesterday or day before yesterday said, oh, look, there's ice and water on Mars. Oh, wow, it even melts and flows. Oh, wow, no, not just myself, but a lot of people have been saying this for a long time. And I understand that we have to go through the process so we can prove it. But you know what? It's like the first time somebody told me we spent $1 billion learning that dogs had emotions. Really? Anybody who owns an animal will tell you a dog has emotions. Any idiot that spends more than 10 minutes with an animal, cat, dog, what have you, they have emotions. They have personalities, even worse. Or however you want to view this, they have these things. So when you know, for the rest of us, it's just, we spend all this money. We spend all this time. We deny. Oh, well, guess what? The masses were right. Oh shit. Really? It's just ridiculous. And it's not just this. It's like the thing on Mars is, it's like the climate change thing. You know, there are some things that we just know, but yet science seems to have to take the long road around to it. And I don't mind that there's scientists out there working on hypotheses and theories to prove things. But when things are obvious, like, okay, look, this is pretty obvious, okay, guys? Now, they've been doing this a long time. Mars has ice caps, top and bottom. They know the ice tracks recede in the summer times. You know what recede means on ice caps? It melted. Okay. But guess what? It comes back in the winter. What does that mean? Snowfall. Well, you got snowfall and you got melting water. I mean, melting ice, you got water and you got drinkable water and you got ice. You know, it didn't take rocket science. You know why they didn't want to admit to this? You want me to tell you why? Because Mars has an atmosphere. And if there's flowing water and movement in water and there's some heat and some type of air, guess what? You might have microbiological life. You might even have something bigger than it, like vegetation of some sort. And you know, if there's vegetation, there's always the possibility for something a little bit higher on the food chain. I'm just saying, guys, I mean, you know, some things are just logical. This is progression that we're moving in. Mars was a lush planet. No scientist today argues that fact. So to think the planet is 100% dead when it does have movement, does have water, does have atmosphere, does have heat, and more importantly, underground, all this stuff may still be fairly pristine. You know, all this water is going somewhere, so there's probably underground rivers and underground reservoirs on Mars that are liquid, that are, you know, flowing, not frozen, not like glaciers. So I'm just saying, they might not even be flowing, they might just be sitting there. If you've got that, you've got a good chance that there's something living in it. Not 100%, mind you, but about 50-50. Just something to think about. That's what we're here for, to make you think about things. You know, oh, well, Mars is, I seen that, Gene. Mars is one of my, yeah, the little, you know, the little thingy pops up. Mars has always been one of my favorite subjects. It is where it's logically the next place for man to go. We will build, you know, how can I say this politely? No, we will build little bases on the moon and stuff. We might even build hotels and other places up there. But in the end, it's not going to be the place, the next breeding place, the next logical step for man. That's going to be Mars. Mars will be colonized. It's in, and we'll probably, you know, and I really need, while we're on this subject, you know, I said this a long time ago and I've said it in between, but if we're going to allow building on Mars, it should only be in a, I mean, on Mars, on the moon, it should only be in the dark side. Do you really want to look up at the moon and see lakes and cities and, I mean, I guess it would be beautiful, but I mean, it wouldn't be the moon anymore, at least not the way we see it. Just something to think about. I mean, I've thought about it, you know, because I've seen TV series where the moon is all developed and it's they've turned it, terraformed it, and it has water and it has atmosphere and it's just basically a little mini Earth is what it is. It's cool and all, but I'm really thinking, you know. But then we got the other problem. If I start thinking like that, my good blue and green friends, or my, I'm sorry, my green and red friends, you know, we always talk about terraforming Mars. It's one of the things we talk about a lot, but the Reds don't want us to terraform Mars. The Reds think we should develop Mars but leave it pristine. Meaning don't put any atmosphere on it. You know what? And I could probably get around not having breathable air, but it's got to have a pressure change so you don't have to be wearing bulky suits all the time. You know, we want to change the pressure on Mars so that for humans, even if they got to breathe, move around with like a tank and a mask or something, or maybe some type of filtration system, but it wouldn't be bulky. You know, you don't, a big suit trying to go outside and work and move around and do stuff is going to be hard on Mars. And if you thicken the atmosphere, you do two things. One, you can wear, you don't have to wear the suit anymore, and you don't have to worry about radiation because you've thickened the atmosphere enough out to block out the radiation. And you substantially raise the temperature of Mars. So you can move around on the surface of Mars in clothes. You just will have to have some type of breathing apparatus or you'll suffocate. But you will be able to do it. See, we always talk about colonization of Mars, but that's the first step. And most people didn't realize that we will achieve the pressure changes and all much earlier than we'll achieve a breathable atmosphere. So you can already still be there. You'll just have to be wearing gear. It'll be interesting to see how all this works out. You know, I doubt we're going to see it in our lifetime. YouTube, I mean, not YouTube, Facebook is kind of funny today, but if you're young, if you're a Z-genner or maybe a millennial, you might see colonization or the start of colonization on Mars. I would think that my great, 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 great grandson or granddaughter would be the ones that actually had the opportunity to colonize both the moon and Mars. So 5 generations, maybe 6. It's getting it started is the hardest part. Once it's once it's set up and the mode of transportation is set up and it becomes regular, moving back and forth, you know, ships going and coming, then you'll see the quickening of both colonizations of wherever we go. And Denise, yes, Venus is the goddess. Yes, we will be colonizing Venus. You know, I've always said this, and this is what's kind of strange. If you could build a giant pipe of some kind, or maybe just a gravity system that went between Mars and Venus, you could remove the greenhouse gas from Venus and cool it and make it habitable, but use that greenhouse gas to superheat Mars to make it habitable. So you could actually literally terraform two planets at one time. Now, the first time I told this to a scientist was live on the air. I think it was Neil Tyson. It might have been. No, it was Tyson. It wasn't Keiku. But when I said it, he was like, ah. And then he got to thinking about it. And it is something. Now, it's not something we can probably achieve right now. But give us 100 years or 500 years, this might be something achievable. And then we could colonize. We could actually terraform two planets. Venus is a lot like Earth. With the exception of not having a moon, it is a lot like Earth. And the funny part about it is, or the strange part about it is, at one time it was another planet that was like Earth, because we know from the upper atmosphere samples, which is almost identical to Earth's upper atmosphere, that at one time these planets had to be a lot alike. So at one time, probably 60 million years ago, all three of these planets were inhabitable. Now, there's life on this planet, which means there was probably life on the other two. There's also intelligent life on this planet, which is a good possibility there was on the other two worlds as well. Where'd they go? That's for another show. Join me on Wednesday for that show. But I don't know. It's weird to me, because somewhere around 60 million years ago, there seemed to have been a massive disaster in our solar system, not just here. When you look at Mars and you look at Venus and you look at Earth, they probably went catatonic all around the same time. Probably maybe something passing through, maybe a giant asteroid field. You know, people forget about this, but, you know, Earth's going around the sun and the sun's going around a galaxy, but the galaxy itself is cruising along as well. So our solar system's cruising, our galaxy, everything is moving. Well, and it's not just that. We don't just go out in an elliptical orbit through our massive galaxy. We actually kind of go up and down as we're going. Well, we don't even know what the hell's ahead of us. We can't see that far in space. We really don't understand where it is or what it is that we're doing in all of this. Hold on. I have to check something out here. I don't know, guys. It's a very strange thing indeed. And you know, that might be the cause of the mass extinction. It takes a couple hundred million years to get around, 260 million, I think. Don't quote me on it. I have to actually go check, but it takes a long time. And I was talking with Michio Keiko about this, and we were discussing, is it possible that, is there somewhere in the known galaxy, as our planet is passing through it, it causes the mass extinction? Because they kind of seem to be spread out fairly evenly. Could it be? Maybe there's a place as we go through that irradiates the planet, kills about 88-90% of the life. And by the time we get halfway back, we've come back. The life forms have come back. I'm just saying, I mean, I have no idea. It's just a thought. But there's a lot of stuff out there that's very dangerous to us, guys. I mean, there's a lot in the universe that is just not friendly to humans or our planet, for that matter. So it's just something to think about. I mean, you don't have to, you know, quandary or say, oh, it can't be, or it is or not. It's just, we are traveling through space. Our planet is a spaceship, in case y'all didn't know that. A big, big blue spaceship. And we're traveling around a big fiery yellow ball, which is actually spinning around through a big galaxy, moving along with other solar systems, by the way. We're not the only solar system in the galaxy. So there's all kind of shit to bump into. There's all kind of things that go boom in the night. There's all kind of black holes and supernovas and anything that could irradiate the planet. And even you could be passing by something and only irradiate half the planet as you pass by. Just one side, whatever side was facing it as it went past. There's a lot of ifs and maybes and could be's. But odds are, because the universe, the galaxy is so vast and it is so dangerous, odds are that there is something nasty out there that we've bumped into in the past. Or it might simply be that we pass through a heavy, heavy area where there's a lot of asteroid or a lot of debris, maybe through a deceased nebula, something where there's a lot of leftover debris from planet building and stuff like that. We might be passing maybe through a young solar system, might be in somewhere that we pass lightly through or something. So any of these things are quite possible and could cause a massive problem. Any big asteroid smacking into the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter could send shit flying all over, excuse the language, but they could. So it's one of these things that we have to stop and look at and say, maybe we've been wrong about the extinction events. Maybe we've been wrong about a lot of things when it comes to our native world. And maybe we should learn quickly how to look out into deep space. You know, Hubble's great, man. I love Hubble. Yeah, Dean, I agree with you 100%. Hubble is absolutely fabulous. Hubble has showed us things that we would have never seen before. And a new telescope is coming that's going to even show us even more. Might even be able to find inhabitable planets or planets with life on it. So we're definitely moving in the right direction. Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It's just maybe we need to move a little faster. You know, how far off are we from the last great extinction? I'm not talking about the dinosaur era, not the 63 million. That was, we know what caused that. We're talking about the ones that happen about every 180 million years. We're about due for one of those. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, maybe we should be looking a lot harder. Or maybe Dr. Paul Labatt's cosmic pulse theories is a feasible one. I have no idea. There's a lot of things out there, and it, you know, makes me nervous that we don't look very hard. Well, SETI don't look for these kind of things, John. SETI's a cool program, but it doesn't look for these kind of things. These are things that everyday astronomers have to be looking for. They're just looking around. As they're looking through the telescopes and scanning parts of the sky, hopefully they're seeing this. But as they said in the movie, it's a mighty big sky, and we have very limited resources for scanning it. You know, somebody looks up the sky and says, well, it can't be that big. It's just Earth. No. The further you look, the more you see. Have y'all seen the latest deep fields from Hubble? Oh, my God. Anybody, and I'm going to say this as polite as I can, anybody who looks at this thing and thinks we're alone is a moron. That's as polite as I can say this. I could use other language, but that's as polite as I can say this. Because when you look at this, I mean, there are literally trillions of these things out there. I mean, just in our own galaxy, which is 160,000 light years across because they updated it, which puts us around 400 billion stars, about 3 trillion planets. Do you know what the chances of life are in that? It's ridiculous. You can't even say that it's not going to happen because we're here. Odds are there's somebody out there, and odds are there's somebody out there that's older, smarter, brighter, and faster than us. I'm just saying, guys, pay attention. It's news. When they come land, I'll tell you about it. I'll be on here. Good evening. This is Joe Montaldo, and guess what just happened in Washington, D.C.? Oh, there's a flying saucer sitting on the White House lawn. Trump is passed out currently, and Pence is just in a daze. The rest of the White House just seems to be, I'm just kidding, guys. Nobody write to me. I was just kidding. It'll be interesting. It definitely will be. But anyway, we got to get down to real news. I got off and ran about Mars because I love Mars, and it's just one of my all-time favorite topics to talk about. It's where we're going. I guess that's why it's important because, you know, I love my planet. I love Earth, and I think it's a beautiful place to live. And I'm sure there's beautiful places out there besides it. But I know as we go, we're going to find more and more and more places out there that goes. I just want to be ready for it. I want to move out and as we deplete the resources here, I just want to kind of move out and start colonizing. And eventually, you know, one day maybe Mars and some of the colonies will be able to sustain Mother Earth as she becomes depleted and dried out and used up and abused. Maybe that'll happen there. It's just maybes, but I mean, in the beginning, any new colonies, of course, will be depleting Earth because they'll be have to rely on us. But it's not just that. I mean, when you look around in our solar system, there's a lot of resources in the solar system, a lot. There's a lot of things that can be used. There's a lot of water. There's a lot of other raw materials out there that can be used for colonization. So all of that will come into play. But I'm just ready. I just want to be ready. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, let's get down to some real news. Anybody who wants a moan, groan, bitch, complain, or gripe about the last segment of the show, please just write to icar@cox.net. Or drop by YouTube or one of our other mini venues and drop us a line. It's also an easy way to do it. Or you can also catch us on Facebook. For all the regular listeners to my shows, please be sure to tune in to Wednesday's night show. Christina George is going to be joining me, and there might be a couple other people that join me. Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. I will post it in the morning what the show is going to be about, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I can tell you that. So be sure to tune in. You don't want to miss it. How's that? Oh, yes. Does it pertain to Larry Warren? Who are you, and how would you know that? No, actually, it doesn't. I'm sure his name will come up, but it doesn't pertain to him. What's this? Let's see what we got going on here. It's just been really busy lately. I mean, it's been strange the way things are and the universe is and what direction it's taking us, but I enjoy life, and I'm sorry, I got like three conversations going here one time, but I really do enjoy life. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of things going on, and there's always bumps in the road and people that are, you know, butt wipes and stuff like that. But anyway, getting down to business here now. You know, one of the first stories, and I wanted to feature this because we were talking about the weather when I first came on. Temperatures in Russia falls to -88.6. Oh, shit. That doesn't sound like global warming either. You know, guys, in case y'all forgot this, I know for the millennials and Z generation, y'all probably don't know about this because you're too young. But for everybody that's older than that, y'all forget the old days scientists said the ice age was coming back. And what came before the ice age was like a global warming phase. Did everybody forget this? Maybe these guys were actually right. Wouldn't that be a bitch? Everybody's screaming, oh, the planet's burning up. Oh, no, not exactly, people. And by the way, in case y'all didn't know this, anytime there is a warming event on this planet, it does trigger an ice age. All you got to do is look through history to see it. So even if we get one going, it's liable to trigger an ice age. A lot of strange things happen when the planet gets hot. Will they become a desert? No. We're not quite as ignorant as we used to be. And there's going to be problems because, one, the population is growing. Think about this. When I was born, we're only talking 50 years. When I was born, sorry about that, guys, the population was around 2 billion. It's at 7 billion now. 50 years from now, it'll be at about 18 billion. 50 years from then, about 36 billion. Can Mother Earth sustain 36 billion? Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. I know I've heard scientists say that Earth can easily sustain 25 or 30 billion if you did things like convert all of South America into just one massive garden. I've heard them say that a couple of times on a couple of occasions. You could do that, and if you put in wind farms, along the edges of the ocean, you could power and pretty much do all of this for a fairly reasonable amount of money. So, but other than that, I've never heard anybody talk beyond that point. I've never heard any scientists really go beyond that part of it. You know, they'll say things and I'm like, ooh, 25 billion, 30 billion. That's a lot of people. And the bad part is when you look at America, even if there was 2 billion people in America, there would still be lots of room, mainly because we like to all gang up on each other. Oh, no, Jack. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Give me a couple minutes. But people like to stack up on each other. They really do. It's you know, look at New York, look at L.A., look at Miami, look at Houston, Dallas, Atlanta, London, Paris. All the great cities seem to be, you know, overpopulated. People want to be there because that's where the action's happening. That's where the money's to be made. That's where everything's at, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people live in the rural areas, but people want to group up together. Maybe safety in numbers. Maybe it's the old tribal thing, safety in numbers, safety in masses. But it's just who we are. Anyway. No. We're moving on from that. To go back to what Jack was talking about, San Francisco has a homeless problem. And the homeless people are defecating on the sidewalks. They just leave their tents and go outside and poop wherever. I'm not kidding y'all. So this is ridiculous. But instead of the police doing anything or anybody doing anything about it, they have issued poop maps. Oh, yeah. San Francisco has issued poop maps so that you don't have to walk where the people poop. I was like, come on, man. I mean, California got the highest poverty level in the United States. California always brags about how they are such a great state and are the number one welfare players in the United States, number one poverty state in the United States, sucking $428 billion a year out of the country. Everybody always talks about it's the sixth greatest economy. Yeah, but we're not seeing any of it. We're giving them $400 billion a year. Don't see where that's all helping us all out that much. And hell, most of their industries now are not things we're interested in. Hollywood, who gives a crap? Maybe them people in San Francisco should go up to Hollywood and they could call it Poopwood. I'm just saying, just a thought. It's first off, when you hear things like that, you know, and then when you hear things like sanctuary cities and cities where we allow crimes to go on unpunished and unchecked. What is this? What is it? The Wild Wild West? Did I miss something? Maybe it's Westworld. I mean, what the hell am I missing here? Why don't we obey the laws in this country? Why even bother having them if we're not going to obey them? I don't get that. And I wouldn't even care if so many of them wasn't criminals. Because really, for the most part, the only reason you don't get legal is because you're a criminal. And we won't. And if you're a criminal, well, of course, we won't let you be a citizen. So we allow these people to stay in our country illegally and do pretty much whatever they want and kill whoever the hell they want, as we just seen in San Francisco, as this guy pretty much murdered this little young blonde. And wait, San Francisco let him off. This guy was a four-time felon. Four-time. In most states, he would be serving life because most states had the three-time felon law. Just the reason this woman died was because of San Francisco and California's sanctuary policy. She would still be alive if she was anywhere else that didn't have this. Because this guy would have been in jail or dead or gone. One or the other. This kind of stuff has to stop in our country. And, you know, yeah, the thing about it is we had talked about this. I told everybody if they didn't get marijuana legalized under the Democrats, you can forget it because the Republicans aren't going to legalize it. And I told everybody back then, because of things like edibles and kids having to go to the hospital from eating gummy bears and cookies and people being arrested because they fell asleep at the steering wheel or ran somebody over because they were too high to see the thing. Because remember, until it was legal, there was no deaths accounted to marijuana. Now there's quite a few deaths accounted to it. So, you know, they let it get out of control. And I said, look, guys, just smoke your pot. And go on. If you keep up with this attitude and kids keep going to the hospital, the feds are going to have to step in. Now the feds are stepping in. But I'm going to tell you the real reason why the feds are stepping in. They're not stepping in because they give a crap about marijuana. Other than the kind of money they're going to seize, they're going to seize a couple billion dollars if they start seizing everybody's cash. In order for them to crack down on sanctuary cities, which are breaking the law, they have to crack down on any cities breaking the law. And unfortunately for Jeff Sessions and the GOP, marijuana is a Schedule I drug. So if you're bitching about sanctuary cities, which is also a felony, then you have to go after the Schedule I drug. So now he's pretty much put the governors on notice that this is going to start going on. And I think what you're going to start seeing in all the sanctuary cities, I think you're going to see the marijuana raids increase. And I'm telling you what, Sessions is playing a game here. He's going to start raiding these things, taking these money, making it to where nobody wants to grow marijuana in any of these states. And the only way he's going to give it back to them is if they drop the sanctuary status. One or the other. I know, ain't it a dog? He looks like a dummy, but I don't know, guys. He may not be as dumb as he looks. Trump definitely ain't as dumb as he looks. He sure knows how to play the media and the Democrats. I got to say, watching Trump for any reason, just the way he infuriates the Democrats is worth having this guy in office. It really is. He makes the Democrats insane. He's insane. But this is another thing that proves my point. There were all these people at this meeting where the shithole comment came up. Okay. Only the Democrats said he's called him a shithole. Nobody else said it. Nobody else said it. Don't try the Lindsay thing, because even in the beginning when you asked Lindsay, he said, no, that's not how he said it. He said, I wasn't happy with the way he expressed about these countries, but he didn't use, in his own words, derogatory, actually he said curse words. So he probably did use derogatory comments. But it wasn't what the Democrats said. So here you've got 12 other people telling you that's not what was said, but the media only covers the what? The one guy who said it. So what media is basically saying is this guy's credibility is better than all 12 of the other people that were in the room, including the president. Wow, liberals. I mean, come on. That's just ridiculously stupid. And I see it's biting y'all in the ass, because I've been noticing the comments wherever you go, Facebook, Yahoo, it doesn't even really matter. Wherever you go, everybody's like, yeah, some countries are shitholes. Why are we trying to deny that some countries are shitholes? It might not be politically correct to say, but it's true. And I've said this before. Politically correct needs to go the way of the dodo bird. And we just need to say the truth from now on, because politically correct is just stupid. There are countries on this planet that need serious help, and they are shitholes. You will get killed there. You will get murdered there. Your family will get raped there. You'll be slaved into slavery. What else do you call that but a shithole? Only some hypocrite ass would even think it wasn't, or try to play it off like it wasn't. Liberals, you've lost it. You know, from all the stuff you've done, you would have thought you would have learned your lesson. After the bathroom issue alone, you would have thought you learned your lesson when you tried to put when you tried to put people with opposite sex changes into bathrooms with innocent children. I had no idea why you thought that was going to work. No self-respecting dad wants a cross-dressing boy, 15, 13, 12, to go into the locker room with his daughter and get naked. That's ain't going to happen. You can say it's not fair, but you know what? Make a third bathroom and we don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Or make everything unisex and we don't have to worry about it. But that's not going to happen either, because America's too uptight for that. They entirely are entirely too uptight for that. But what are we going to do? We got to find some happy ground is what we got to do. We got to find some medium ground. So I don't know why we need special bathrooms. That's ignorant. As far as school stuff goes, look, puberty is a bitch without having to take on anything else. So, you know, until you're in the real world, I think it just needs to be the way it is. I don't think anybody needs to be hating or judging or anything else like that. It's not what I was saying. But as far as bathrooms and stuff or locker rooms go, it's not going to work. It's just not going to. Parents don't want the opposite sex in there with their children. You can say whatever, but that's not what they want. And what I've always thought funny about it was I was watching the New York thing, and this tells you, this proves beyond any doubt how hypocritical liberals actually are. So if you was a transvestite boy, a cross-dressing boy, you could go in the locker room with the girls and change and do whatever, because that's how you identify. But if you were a girl becoming a boy, you could not go in the boys' locker room. Really? Why is that? Really? I mean, that is such a hypocrite, it's not even funny. But now it ain't working nowhere. Everybody's like, no, look. What? Because I never understand what a bathroom thing became a thing. I live in New Orleans. I've been to San Francisco. It doesn't seem to be an issue. In New Orleans, if you're transvestite or not, you go to whatever bathroom you feel like going to. I've seen them dressed up in drag in the men's room, and I've seen them going into the women's room. I don't think they really give a good blank. And you know what? I don't think most of them needed your help to try to fix this either. I think that's the other big mistake liberals made. You want to treat specialties or groups as children to be dealt with. I've watched you deal with the black population for 20 years. You treat them like they're bad little children, and you've got to help and show them the way and give them everything they want. But then in the end, you never really give them anything, so you're really bad parents, aren't you? But it's not like that. You treat all groups like that. I don't know when you became this party. That's what scares me so much. I used to identify with y'all guys because you were open-minded and looked forward in the future to see where the world was going and what we could do. Now you're like, woo-woo me, woo-woo me. oh, I'm the other guy. Vote for me because I'm the other guy. Not because I'm a better guy or a better woman or I know more. I can help you more. I can do this, that, or the other damn thing. Oh, no, vote for me because I'm the other guy. Really? Really? That's the party you have become? I'm the other guy? No wonder the GOP is kicking your ass all over creation. If that's your campaign strategy for 2018, you're not going to have any seats left in the Senate except for maybe in California and New York. I mean, come on. You got to get off of that. It's me. Ryan. Oh, you're talking about Rodney Moore in Alabama, right? Yeah, well, the only reason they got that is because they had to cheat to get that one, and they still barely got it. And that's only a two-year seat. They won't keep that seat. That seat will be gone in 2018. That will go back to a Republican. That's a very red area. He only got them kind of people to come out because of those accusations against Roy Moore. And now Roy Moore has taken a polygraph that said he ain't never did any of this. And then we come to find out that the mall they said he was banned from wasn't even built when they said he was banned from it. Whew, yeah, no. Ain't that a bitch? And then, wait, the other one, which is even more funny, the lady said, really? She said, I've been here 15 years, and I've been here the longest. She said, there ain't nobody was even here when he was here. Yeah, so it was a lie. That was two outright lies by the Democrats. And then now we know the one woman who said it was a diary lied, and she wrote it in the diary. And the other woman, the parents said, don't believe anything that comes out of her mouth. A lot of her friends said the same thing. So, I mean, really. So we watched the liberal media play this up so that the guy could get elected. That's exactly what this was. Remember, they tried this on Trump. This has become a tech tactic of the Democrats. It's just backfired in their face because so many of the Democrats are perverts that it's just been biting them in the ass. I mean, there's been 56 people accused last year, 56 men accused last year, and only six of them were GOP. All the rest of them were, Democrats. That just doesn't bode well. And out of that, more than half of them, guess where they were from? Hollywood. You know, it's funny. You don't hear very many musicians getting accused of this. So let's get this right. So Mick Jagger and Steven Tyler and all the hard rockers around today aren't grabbing any TNA, but all these other guys are. Okay, people, there is something seriously wrong with this picture. I'm just saying. I can't see this. It is something seriously wrong with this picture. I mean, these rockers, you know as well as I do, they got reputations for it. But yet no one seems to be hollering or screaming at them. But these movie stars, on the other hand, maybe, you know what? Maybe it's because the rockers enjoy it and say, yes, I did grab her on. And you know what? Sorry, it's what happened back then. I apologize, but, you know, don't stick it in my hand. They could just hear Mick Jagger or someone saying that. But these movie stars who have always been so upsy-tupsy and think they're better than everybody, ooh, they can't go around saying that, can they? Well, except for Jack Nicholas, who I can't repeat on air what he said about the one that accused him. But it wasn't pleasant, I'll tell you that much. And then what's the blonde head guy with the kids? Oh, I can't think of his name now. Kurt Russell, is that him? No, that ain't him. I don't want to accuse the wrong guy here. Michael Douglas, he had some choice words as well. You know, look, this is going to be a thing in Hollywood that Hollywood's got to deal with, because I don't know how anybody else is going to deal with it. Regular business communities, at least, you know, depending on where you are, someone's got your back. But there's always some kind of problem going on, because look, Google's being sued for not hiring conservatives, white conservatives at that, white men conservatives. They're getting a crap suit out of them for it, and they're going to lose because it's true. The guy can prove he was fired over his politics. So I don't even know what Google was thinking there. So not only is Google going to have to get this guy a lump chunk of money, they're going to have to make sure they go out and hire X amount of conservatives now, or they're going to be in trouble. You're going to see these kind of lawsuits come up against Apple. You're actually going to start seeing these more and more. And I guarantee you, the more liberal the company, the more of these suits you're going to start seeing. Because I know there's a copycat suit against AT&T. Oh, wait, no, not AT&T. I apologize. It was, went right out of my head when I said AT&T. Not Virgin, not Verizon, not the pink one. That's T-Mobile. Oh, hell. Anyway, if it comes to me, is it not Sprint? C-Spire? I don't know. I have to go check. I know. I can't remember. For some reason, it went right out of my head when I said, all I can see is that damn blue emblem, and I keep wanting to say it's AT&T, but it's not. But anyway, so that's a copycat suit. And I'm sure you're going to see more and more of these as we come along. So be ready for them, and be ready for the changes upcoming in our country soon. It's not going to matter because we're going to fire Trump. Dude, Trump's doing a fabulous job. What are you talking about? What do you watch the liberal media or something? Do you not see the economy is like busting at the seams? You can't get no Obama credit for that. He never had a GDP like this ever. Business has never acted like this under him. Come on, the whole damn country just got a raise from their taxes and from a tax cut. And Obama tried to get big companies to give raises. He tried to make it law to give raises, and they still wouldn't do it. And here's Trump, less than a year, all the big companies give not just raises, but bonuses. He's running circles around Obama in his first year like Obama never even was president, guys. I mean, he's passed more bills than all but one president now in his first year in office. That's damn near a record. He says all, but I notice the media says all but one, so we'll leave it at all but one. He's got China doing stuff that they wouldn't even entertain when Obama was president. The UN is leveling sanctions, just bam, 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 bam. China's sending people to talk to North Korea. They're cutting off their fuel, their food. All of this is stuff that Obama tried for 8 years to get done. And wait, not just hating on Obama here. Bush tried before him. But here comes Humpty Trumpty and wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Why? Did we miss something here? Anybody know? Because Obama was a soft guy. He wasn't, because he used those drones to kill all kind of thousands of people. But he was kind of soft in the fact that he just didn't understand. And Putin wasn't scared of him, especially when we all heard this was so embarrassing. So here's President Barack Obama running for a second term. Oh, Medvedev. Oh, yeah. You know what? Just tell Putin once I become president. Oh, yeah, we can do that. I'll have a lot more latitude to do all those things he wants. So really? And where was the collusion? Why was no one screaming collusion then? I mean, here's the president of the United States telling the chancellor of Russia, oh, yeah, I'm going to kiss your ass once I get elected. And we're not talking about anything. You know, that's one thing liberals have really become. They should call themselves the hypocrite party. Y'all really should. Don't worry, though. I think because of you, the nutsoid liberals, and the crazy conservatives, I think we're going to end up with a middleist party. And that's what the country needs. We need a big party that represents about 60% of the country, a middleist party, so that the liberals and the conservatives can learn to serve like they're supposed to. Remember, people, the House and the Senate is there to serve who? We the people. We put them why? To serve us. And, unfortunately, the big parties have forgot that. But if you put a party in there that divides them, splits them, a party that, you know, don't have quite enough to do what it wants on its own, so it's got to either have the liberals or the conservatives to help them, then you'll see much more operation, much more cooperation, and much more bipartisanship between the parties. Because they'll have to if they want to ever get anything or try to get anything done. But we have allowed the liberals and the conservatives to have too much power in the United States. You do understand this, ladies and gentlemen, that they are not the majority of voters anymore. The liberals and conservatives each make up about 20-22% of the votes in the United States. The other 6% are somewhere in the middle, libertarians, independents, whatever you want to call yourselves, middleists, centralists, they're in the middle somewhere. That's the majority of Americans are not affiliated with these two parties. But yet somehow or another, we have let these two parties have all the power because they have all the money. Independents can't get up in big states like New York or California and run because they ain't got the money. Hell, even big GOPs have a hard time running these states because they ain't got the money. It's time to put caps on what can be spent on elections. And it's not just that. We need to go back to do some old school stuff like they did in the 50s and 60s where news companies have to give airtime to legitimate candidates and have to give equal airtime to all of them without the candidate having to pay for it. That used to be mandatory in the United States. We need to go back to that. Because now it's all about who's got the most money. And that's not what a presidential election should be about. The only reason Obama got elected is he spent $1 billion on each election. Think about this. He spent a billion. This is a man who came into the White House, wasn't even a millionaire. turned around and spent $1 billion in each election. And by the way, he left the White House as a millionaire. Ooh, that's just suspicious in itself. But anyway, he comes in, and then here comes Trump right behind him and shows you don't have to do that. Trump spent $385 million. According to their records, $300 million of it was his. He's not a bought president. Obama was bought, stamped, and paid for. He probably had Wall Street's tattoo on his ass. Because come on, guys, $1 billion, but he was $2 billion in debt to big business. And he wasn't bought. Come on, somebody call in or write in and tell me the man wasn't bought. Come on, I want to hear it. Yeah, that's what I thought. Because he's bought, paid for, and stamped off, guys. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Trump is not a bought president. Not only that, not only is Trump not a bought president, but Trump has bought a lot of these politicians. Oh, yeah. Remember when the woman was giving him all kind of shit about it a couple months, and he goes, wait a minute, I've donated to your campaign 6 times? Oh, well, she was busted. She criticizing a man but took money from him? Well, oh, man. What does that got to say? But anyway, guys. There's a lot of that going on right now. The guy's doing a decent job. He's doing a far better job than Obama did in his first year. He's not politically correct, and he's not smooth, and he's not going to be. And if you go back through history of the United States, you will find out that most great presidents are not smooth, and they're not – they're just kind of rough guys. And you can go look for yourself. You don't have to look at Lincoln. You know, what do you mean Kennedy was smooth? Kennedy wasn't a great president. Kennedy was president for 3 years. Whooped the shit. Yeah, no, you baby boomers think he was a great president. He liked the start of World War III. Jesus. No, he was not. He was having an affair with Marilyn Monroe. Y'all bitching because Clinton got Wiki in the White House, and this guy's having an affair for – oh, no, come on now. Y'all being hypocrites again. See, hypocrites. That's what I'm telling you, liberals. You're being hypocrites. If we're going to look at it by what he accomplished, not much. So, no, he was a popular president. Just like Obama it was when he was in his office, but he wasn't a good president. That's a big difference between popular and good. And when the media is on your side, it's much easier. I mean, the media all but kissed Obama's ass everywhere he went, so he really didn't have much to worry about. That's why we always found out stories after the fact 2 years later. We find out, oh, the press been doing this, the press been doing that. 9 weeks after a disaster, people get killed in Benghazi. Our president's on The View telling everybody, oh, it was over video, when not only he, at this time, even the media knew it wasn't true, but they still wouldn't question him about it. You just got to kind of wonder where we've come in our country. I just want to see progressive change. I want to see real change. I want to see change that is equal for everyone, not for one race, not for one sex, but for everyone. Because our country has become lopsided. It wants to jump on this one, then jump on that one, then jump on this one, then jump on that one, give this one, give that one, give that one, give this one. Look, people, we got a lot of problems in our country that we got to fix. You can't just keep throwing money at them because that doesn't fix them. You got to actually fix them. And it doesn't always take money to fix certain kind of problems. You know, that's it. Real quick, Dean, what's your question? Yes, Ian Finn, too. Should welfare be abolished in the United States? No. Should people be on it for 18 years? No. You know, people always need help, okay? And we need to be there to help people. We really do. We need to have a system that actually helps you. But like right now, we were talking about this the other night. If you wanted to apply for like welfare in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, right now you can't. It's frozen because it's full. So all these people who need help can't even get it because there's so many people on it and have been on it for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And, you know, it's ridiculous. They're getting on it and they're raising their families on it. That has to stop. We need to start educating these people and putting these people to work and getting these real jobs. But when I say this, I don't mean getting these people some freaking flipping hamburger job at McDonald's. I mean a real freaking job. Let's educate them. Let's help them. You know, if people get scared, you get stuck in this life. You don't know how to get out into the real world. You know, I was lucky. I had stuff that kind of came at me when I was younger. Some of it I let slay. Some of it I actually used. But not everybody has that. So you have to really want to help these people. And look, say, look, I know you're scared. I know you don't want to do this. But look, let me get you this. And instead of making $8 flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, I'll have you a job at the library making $16. You know, a little prestige, a good, decent job, somewhere you're not going to get raped, killed, or murdered, you're not going to come home smelling like burgers. I mean, these are the things we got to do. We got to go more than just you got to get a job, okay? It's not going to work. Because that's just going to be an excuse to keep people off of welfare because they didn't go get an $8 an hour job at McDonald's. That is bullshit. So we need to balance it. Like everything in the United States, we have a lot of good stuff. We just need to learn balance and a little bit of self-control. And I think our country can go a lot further than it is. But, you know, think what you want, people. Bitch, gripe, moan, groan, complain. It's all up to you. I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. I hope y'all got some out of it. Usually there was quite a few more arcs I want to get into, but I got on a damn Mars rant for a half hour. We'll be back. Remember, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, be sure to tune in to UFO on the Cover. It should be a very, very interesting show. Look out, too, if you're a Facebook subscriber or if you're on any of our Facebook pages and more than 300,000 people across our 9 Facebook pages. If you're on one of those pages, pay attention. We're going to be posting information tomorrow throughout the day, prepping for tomorrow night's show. So I hope y'all enjoy. If you're reconstituted, don't come to tomorrow night's show. It'll just be, well, we'll leave it at that. Oh, one other thing before we go, and I didn't mean to mention this in the beginning. If y'all remember the two ships that had collisions a while back, there were two different ships that had collisions with two different vessels. They brought both of the commanders on negligent homicide charges. Yeah, I said you should, because in the Navy, unfortunately for him, the buck stops with him. He's the commander in chief. He let him get whammed. But anyway, on that note, we got to get out of here again. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to News on the Flip Side with Joe Mantello. It's a Tuesday night's edition. I hope you all enjoyed last night's edition with Lily and I. Lily's a great host. Wednesday, we're still looking for a conservative host for Wednesdays. We're looking for a conservative host for Wednesdays and a liberal host for Fridays. We have a liberal host for Thursdays that hosts with me. And, you know, so they come host with me. This is Michael Angley just joined. Hi, Michael.
What's up, man?
Say hi to the world.
Hello, world.
Hello, world. Mike's coming up next with Discovery Paranormal, by the way, guys. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check it out. Enjoy it. We're running. We got quite a lot of stuff going on these days. We will return to live broadcasting on the United Public page on April 28th for whoever just asked that question. I see him pop up. But you can get us live broadcasting all over everywhere else. And I will post the other one. If you actually call the YouTube page. Oh, hold on a second. Hey. Hey, Ben. Ben.
Hey. Hey.
Yeah, wait. Give me 10 minutes and I'll call you back because we're just wrapping up.
Okay.
We'll
see you soon. All
right. Okay, by the way, that's Ben from You Heard It Here First, guys, by the way. Anyway, he'll be right back with me.
Hello,
everybody. Let me get rid of him. Let me give this over to Michael. Guys and girls, I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm going to get out of here now. Everybody, look, you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on iHeart. You can find us on everywhere, actually. I don't even know where we're not anymore. It used to be I could say we're not here and here and here, but we're everywhere now. And also, we are featured on Google's new podcast system. I don't know if it's actually going up yet, but it's a great system. So check it out. And of course, you can always find us on Podbean and SoundCloud and everywhere. And to the more than, you know, on an average week at SoundCloud, we see between 50 and 75,000 people visit every week. That's just on SoundCloud. It's not any of the other places we're on. I want to thanks, guys, for keeping it up. That's close to 2 million just in plays over there now. So y'all go by and enjoy it. They have great things over there. SoundCloud's a good system. Podbean's good. Podcast Garden's good. Like I said, iHeart, iTunes, all of those are all excellent. Spreaker, we actually have Spreaker. By the way, before I go, Spreaker, Facebook, and YouTube, we have chat rooms on. We still have the old one, Pop Talk, but we're not in it that often. But we do have them all, the rest of them. You can come by and hang out and chat. And talk to your favorite host when they're on air.
And you have to add that one of them, I'm not going to say which, has a bordello. So you go into that bordello chat room, you never know who you're going to find in there doing what. And tell your friends, you win a prize, I will personally give you a bucket of New York snow. A bucket of snow. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm like, what's a bucket of New York snow here, man? What are you talking about? Anyway, guys, we got to get out of here. Let me turn y'all over to some lovely music here. I hope y'all enjoy the show, and we'll see y'all in about 8 minutes, so please stay tuned.